Welcome everyone. I just want to thank everyone for joining in tonight and for tuning in. So last week we started discussing different customs and halachas regarding the month of Elul. We are going to start with discussing the customs of Erev Rosh Hashanah, the day preceding Rosh Hashanah. This year it falls out on a Friday, yet it does not always fall out on a Friday every year. The custom is that Erev Rosh Hashanah, and really already on Rosh Hashanah, that a person is supposed to make sure that they understand what they're saying in davening. This being said, a person should take out a machzer in a language that they understand, be it English, be it whatever other language, and make sure that they understand what they are saying. Not just that, but they should also make sure that they're somewhat fluent with the words in davening as well. This includes children, as we don't want to cause interruptions during davening that are not absolutely necessary. This applies as well to the davening for Yom Kippur. So, another thing to keep in mind is that the day of Erev Yom Kippur, a person should not be running around trying to rush to get ready for Yom Tiv. Rather, a person should spend the entire day, or as much as possible, involved in Torah, mitzvahs, thinking about tshuva, thinking about what they could do better, how they could improve themselves, both in the mitzvahs, between Adam and Makom, between us and Hashem, and also between us and our fellow human beings. So the custom, people tend to, before Yom Kippur, ask people for forgiveness. Really, this should be done already starting before Rosh Hashanah, and Erev Rosh Hashanah is a special time to do this. One has to keep in mind that when they are looking back on the year, they are doing an inventory, Cheshbon HaNefesh, on this past year to try to do better in the future, that it's important that one does not get depressed. A person needs to also be careful about the machzer that they use, the siddur machzer that they're going to daven out of, that it's supposed to be as proper and correct as possible to avoid mistakes. So therefore, one should look into what the right machzer is going to be for them already prior, and make sure that it's set aside before Rosh Hashanah starts. If somebody has a new machzer that was not used by them, they have to make sure that the pages are not stuck. Because on Shabbos and Yom Tov, one is not allowed to open the pages if they are stuck and cut them apart or rip them apart. There's a segula brought down in quite a few places. The Mahari Mizitich of Zuchos Yogan Aleinu and that comes from actually many other sources as well, that on Erev Rosh Hashanah you buy a new knife and you should try to use it. And the idea of this is that it's a segula for Parnasa. It should definitely be toiveled and used Erev Rosh Hashanah, but also purchased before Rosh Hashanah, preferably, if possible, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, but at least prior to Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, a person is able to, I know this year it's a little different with all the different laws and regulations and different situations in different cities. However, the mitzvah of greeting one's teacher, one's Rebbe, is appropriate even on Rosh Hashanah and even on Yom Kippur. It is allowed and appropriate. From Rosh Hashanah until after Yom Kippur, some people have the custom until the end of Tishrei, of the Yom Tovim of Tishrei, at least some all the way to the end of Shabbos Bereishis. The minig is to cover the Sefer Torah, the Bima, the Amud, where the Chazan is going to daven from, where instead of the regular cloth and blue, red, whatever color material they use, it should be white. A person has to make sure that they have a new fruit, a new garment, whatever it may be, for Shehachayanu on the second night of Rosh Hashanah. They have to make sure already ahead of time that they have it. And if there is anything that has to be done, for example, new garment, if they have to take off labels or the like, to make sure that is done prior to Yom Tov. And while it does not apply this year, as the first day is going to be Shabbos, so there is no shofar blowing on Shabbos, however, in a regular year, the Baal Tekeh, the one who's going to be blowing shofar, should make sure that he has something set aside for a shofar as well. Also a reminder that if somebody has to make wicks for the second night of Yom Tov because they use oil or the like, that they are supposed to, they have to make sure the wicks are prepared ahead of time, as one is not allowed to assemble wicks on Yom Tov. So we have various halachas that apply, and halachas and minhagim that apply, to make sure that a person is in the right frame of mind to go into Yom Tov. One of these is that a person is not supposed to let blood, and the reason for this is because they will be... there's a couple of reasons, but amongst the many reasons is that a person can feel a little lightheaded or a little not well going into Rosh Hashanah. They will not be able to concentrate and pay attention to and focus on the importance of the day and what they're supposed to, which is why on the night of Erev Rosh Hashanah, the night before Rosh Hashanah, one is still allowed to. If somebody get pledged money to anywhere, be it in Shul, be it somewhere else, they should make sure to give it before Rosh Hashanah, because you don't want to go into the new Inter Rosh Hashanah, which is called a Yom Adin, owing people money. In addition to this, we also give extra tzedakah prior to Rosh Hashanah, as it is a Yom called a Yom Adin, once again, a Day of Judgment, so therefore we want to have the scales tipped on our side. So I'm going to skip over things that are connected with Shemitah or the like, because it's not so applicable this year. I may mention some of them in passing, but that will be about it. So the minig that a large percentage of Klal Yisrael has is that from Rosh Hashanah until the end of Hashanah Rabbah, that the challah is round. There are a few reasons for this. One of the reasons is that it's supposed to be round, like to show that everything is round, that the year is round, and that the same way as it starts it with good positive things, that it should end the same way. There are also many other reasons. However, there are also those that have the custom that the challah should look like a ladder. The reason for this is, amongst others, is that it represents our tefillah, our prayers going up the ladder. And most of the time, the people that have the custom for that also have the custom of having the second challah look like a bird. A person has to remember, like any yomtiv, that they have to make sure they have a pre-existing flame from before yomtiv, so that they will be able to cook on yomtiv or heat up food and even light the candles that one has to light for yomtiv. So now the question comes: now that we know the basics that apply for a lot of these more basics, so now we. Idea of preparation, let's talk a little more about some other forms of preparation. So a person should make sure to clean their clothes, to cut their nails, to cut their hair. All of this is supposed to be similar to somebody who goes before a judge, a physical judge. They want to go in looking presentable. And it shows a certain level of bitachon in Hashem, that Hashem will do good for us, and we will not be in a state of mourning, rather we'll be in a state of joy. But a person does have to remember that they should be careful to cut their hair before Chatzos, before Halachic midday, and if you would like more information on the timing for that, please let me know. And if one doesn't have time, they could already cut their hair prior. So even those that have the custom, which is appropriate not to cut one's hair on Sunday, are allowed to cut their hair on Sunday if it is Erev Rosh Hashanah. Like the case is, whenever a person gets a haircut, there are certain halachas that apply. For example, afterwards, a person should wash their hands. A person needs to wash their hands. A person should also have in mind that when they leave the payas of the head, they should have in mind to fulfill the mitzvah of keeping the payas. And there are a lot of people have a custom that, to as a reminder, as a way to show that they're intentionally keeping it, that they have a custom that even if the barber is a frum yid who would always keep it, that they make mention to the barber to leave the beard and payas. So the custom is that men should go to the mikveh Erev Rosh Hashanah, so that they could go into Rosh Hashanah with bitara, with purity. There are those that have the custom for women too as well, however, it's not as widespread. When a man goes to the mikveh, he should do everything possible to make sure that it is not before an hour prior to Chatzos. Especially if it's somebody who goes to the mikveh generally in the morning, that it should be later in the day after Chatzos to show that it's specifically to get ready for Hashanah. There are different customs how many times a person should toivel in the mikveh. There are those that have the custom 3 times, there are those that have the custom 9 times, 26 times, there are many different customs. But regardless, one should have in mind that they are going to mikveh for the sake of going into Rosh Hashanah and with the kedusha of the day, the sanctity of the day, in purity and with a gladdened heart. For a man who does not normally go to mikveh, it's important that they keep in mind that The idea of a chatzitza is not as applicable by a man. By a man, a chatzitza really is not that applicable unless it covers the majority of one's body. Now, what happens if somebody's not able to go to a mikveh? Health-wise, they don't have a mikveh nearby, or somewhere they can use as a mikveh. So the trick is to pour the equivalent of 9 kabin of water over one's body. This can be accomplished by standing under the average shower for about 3 to 4 minutes, with the water going directly onto one's head, and then as it bounces off and spreads about, that can still count. A person should wear clean, nice, proper clothing, as it is a Yom HaDin, as it is a Day of Judgment, and there are those that have the custom to wear white, but for the most part, the custom is that one wears the regular Yom Tov clothing. While there are those that have the custom not to wear new clothes on Rosh Hashanah because it is Yom HaDin, that is not necessarily many people, including, I would say, probably the majority of people, do not hold this way and do not have such a custom. And a big part of it is for the same reason that we don't say a Hallel, because it's not a day of Simcha in the same way as it is a Yom HaDin. It's appropriate, though, that a woman should try to light candles and have the table set, all of that, before her husband comes home from shul. And one should go out of their way to make sure that everything is ready for the... and ahead of time, not just to go into Rosh Hashanah properly, but also for the sake of making sure to try to keep the peace and harmony in the house. So now the question is, now the topic turns to lighting candles. So the general custom is that the woman wash up, the shower, whatever it may be, and change into proper Yom Tov clothing before lighting candles. Even if they aren't as careful during the year, they should be extra careful by Rosh Hashanah. A person should give extra tzedakah prior to lighting candles. And after lighting candles, it's appropriate for a woman to daven for her, in general for things, but especially for children that will go in the way of Torah. Not just that, but if a woman has trouble conceiving, then it's appropriate, then a segula that's brought down is for her to say the haftarah of the first day of Rosh Hashanah, which is the haftarah of Chana, the story of Chana davening for a child in the Beis HaMikdash and being kicked out, and then being, because Eli HaKohen thought she was drunk, Eli HaKohen realized that she was not, and she was just davening quietly from her heart, so he gave her a bracha of her children, and she did have children. And it's appropriate for her to read that haftarah immediately after lighting candles. The bracha is a little bit different. The bracha is, instead of l'hadik ner shel yom tov, the bracha is l'hadik ner shel yom hazikaron. And if it's Shabbos, of course, she mentioned Shabbos as well, like, such as the first night this year, l'hadik ner shel Shabbos and l'hadik ner shel yom hazikaron. It's appropriate to add more candles than usual for Rosh Hashanah, as per the fact that it's a good sign that it should be a year full of light. If a woman isn't, a woman should keep in mind, or a man as well, if they're not going to be making Kiddush themselves later on, they should say Shachyanu when they light candles. If at all possible, though, a man should light, since a man is not going to be saying Shachyanu by candle lighting, rather by Kiddush, it's preferable for a man to light lit candles right before making Kiddush. So this way, Shachyan can go on both the candles for the Yom Tif and Kiddush. A woman who says Shachyanu earlier by candle lighting cannot say Shachyanu again by Kiddush, even if she's making it for herself. However, she can in fact say Amen to the bracha of Shachyanu being said by somebody else. Yet, it's the custom is that she should not drink directly from the cup of Kiddush. Or she really shouldn't drink from it at all, even if it's poured into something else, because it creates a whole question of a brachal of a hefzik of an interruption between answering amen to the bracha and to drinking. However, if she normally follows the custom of saying the bracha herself, then she would be able to do that without a problem, as she was not relying on the bracha of by Pri Hagafen from the person making Kiddush. It's preferable, though, that similar to Shabbos, she should light prior to the onset of the Yom Tov. And however, if she is lighting later for whatever reason, she should make sure that when her husband or family come home from shul, that it's not dark in the house, even if she normally would light right before the meal. A person has to also remember that they cannot light the second night until it's already dark and nighttime. Now, what happens if the candles go out or somebody's coming home from eating out and now it's going to be dark at home? Be it a woman, be it a man, be it a family. So if it's dark in the house, then then candles need to be lit. That includes at the if they are not eating in the house. However, there is no bracha said at that point. Now, if somebody's for some reason is lighting early, not at the regular time, but earlier, or during the day, and she says Shachyanu, then it's Yom Tov for her, regardless of if her husband accepted Yom Tov yet or not, or what the time is. The same thing would apply on Shabbos as well. And it's Shabbos for her as well, so therefore she cannot do anything she would not be allowed to do on Shabbos. So, the general custom is, though, that the first Shabbos after a woman gives birth, a lot of people have a custom that the husband will now light the candles and say the bracha instead. Now, what happens if Shabbos comes only after a Yom Tov? So the baby's born, then comes Yom Tov, then comes Shabbos. So then they don't need to be as careful about it, even if that normally is the custom to light the first, the husband lights the first Shabbos after. Just like any other Yom Tov, though, a person has to remember that they have to add from from weekday onto the holy. So they should start a few minutes early, and so on and so forth. A person should be careful to make sure there's nothing mukta in their pockets when Yom Tov starts. And the custom also is to daven a little earlier and to daven slower and with more kavana, as it's the last tefillah of the year. The custom by many people, including Chabad, is to come even earlier and say Tehillim prior to Mincha. The people that have the custom say the Hoich Kedusha, the short Chazaras Hashatz, the short repetition, should not do the Erev Rosh Hashanah at all. There are different customs as to what to say after. Different piyutim, not piyutim. Kabbal Shabbos will apply like any other Yom Tov this year on Rosh Hashanah, as the first night of Rosh Hashanah is Friday night. So once again, there are different piyutim, different pieces of different paragraphs and different prayers that different people have the custom to say. So to follow your custom. Even people that normally smoke on Rosh Hashanah, many people have the custom to be that smoke throughout the year, including on other Yom Tovim. The custom generally is to try to refrain from smoking throughout the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. This is brought down in Mati Ephraim, in Machzik Bracha, and in Chabad also, the Rabbein, especially the Friedrich Rebbe, spoke about it a lot. A person should be very, very careful not to get angry, especially during the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah and again on Yom Kippur. And one should try their best to, as it's a time, to try to do better the next year, to take Achlata, to take on something they can do better the following year. So now we come to davening. So Mariv should be davened with a regular tune that is very well known. Hashem Moshe Uyo HaMelech Yaneinu V'yoyim Koreinu. And so on and so forth as we go through davening. So the question comes in, what do we do, what's the custom when it comes now to Friday night, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Friday night? What do you say for Kabbalah Shabbos? So there are different customs what to do on Yom Tov in general. Some people start with Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. Others have the custom to start with Mizmor L'David prior to Lecha Dodi, which is really the preferable minig. And then within the Chodadi, there are many different customs what should or should not be said. And basically, the salute trick is to go ahead and follow whatever the custom is in the shul you're davening in. So a lot of, so Nusach Sfarad, Nusach Ari, I believe a lot of Sfaradim, they have the minig on Shabbos. By the Chodadi, they say Gam Berinov Tzahala, and Yom Tov they say Gam Besimchov Tzahala. The way Nusach Ashkenaz says the entire year. So, when it comes to Boi V'Shalim, what should one who normally would, who davens Nusach Sfarad, or Nusach Ari, for example, say? So, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, if it's on Shabbos, so a person only says Gam Berinov Tzahala, like a regular Shabbos. Now, what about Memadlikin, Kigavna, and so on and so forth? So there are different minhagim what to do. And once again, a person should say whatever they normally, the custom is where they are. All of this, however, up until Baruch Hu is within, or up through all the regular Kabbalah Shabbos ticket, davening should be in a regular Shabbos ticket nigun that they would daven in the rest of the year. However, when they reach, when one reaches to the Kaddish, they suddenly, or Baruch Hu, based off their minig, what they say, they go ahead and switch over to a Yom Tif Dike, Terashana Dike Nigun. Of course, Davening and Kaddish is going to be in the very famous tune that I'm sure the chazan of whatever show you'll be in or minion you'll be in will be very familiar with. Now, what I'm about to say, talk about Kaddish is very important. There are, for every Kaddish from Rosh Hashanah till after Yom Kippur, there are a couple of different customs. The majority of people have the custom that instead of saying le'ela min kol berchasa v'shirasa, they say le'ela u'le'ela mikol berchasa v'shirasa, where mikol is one word. There are those that leave out the vav in le'ela u'le'ela, and then the minig in Chabad, and a couple of others based on Pikabala actually really based off of that, not just Kabbalah in general, but specifically the Kabbalah of the Arizal, is that the only time that it's repeated is by Ne'ila. The Magen Avraham happens to pass in this way as well, for those that are interested to know. So if the minig is to normally say le'elo le'elo, then that starts already in Kabbalah Shabbos if it is a layout like this year where the first night of Rosh Hashanah is Friday night. So this year is Friday night, is the first night of Rosh Hashanah, as we just mentioned. So what does one say after Shemoneh Esrei? So after that midah, a person says Vayichul Magin Avais, like usual. By Magin Avais, instead of saying Kel HaKadosh, and Kamayu, we say HaMelech HaKadosh. And that's the only difference with that paragraph. A person should keep in mind also that we have a few differences in Shemoneh Esrei that we will get to at a later point. So there are different customs at what point, but the general custom is to say the David Mizmor before the Kaddish Tiskabel, both nights of Rosh Hashanah, and it should be said with tremendous kavana. A person should pay attention to what they're saying, focus on what they're saying, and it's a segula that a person should not be lacking in financially or in sustenance throughout the year. There are different customs. Some say verse by verse, some do not. So just keep in mind to pay attention to what's going to be done in your show, in your minyan. Now, for those that say the Dov Hashem Aryeh Mariv, so they would say it like usual after Kaddish Tiskabel. They would say Aleinu L'David Hashem Ari in that order. Now, Rosh Hashanah that falls on Shabbos, normally we say not to learn if all you have is candlelight. You can't learn by the candlelight. However, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, where we say you are allowed to because we're not afraid that a person is going to do something he should not, because they'll be wrapped up in the fact that it is Rosh Hashanah. The custom generally is, though, to daven slower throughout the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, from the first night all the way through the end of Rosh Hashanah. So now we are going to touch upon the halachas that apply to Shemoneh Esrei during the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, a person should daven a little bent over. They shouldn't be standing straight. The exception is when they're saying the line prior to when you normally would bow in Shemoneh Esrei. And also the line, after. It should be the case by every time a person says Baruch Atah Hashem, so it doesn't look like you're bound when you're not supposed to. And this applies really the whole year, that a person should be careful to try to stand straight so it doesn't look like that. Although normally we say a person Shemoneh Esrei is supposed to be silent so nobody around you could hear, Rosh Hashanah we say it does not apply the same way Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, because everybody's anyways looking inside a machzer. However, if everybody else in Shul is davening silently, you're supposed to also. And the reason is, you don't want to confuse other people either. If you didn't daven whatever tefillah it is that year yet, regardless of the day of the year, you have to be extra careful to read it out of a siddur machzer. Of a machzer. In the bracha of, so as we said before, there are four psukim that we add in Shemoneh Esrei, and that we do not say the rest of the year. So I'm taking out my art scroll siddur for a minute. It was the closest one on the shelf. And the following additions or changes in Shemoneh Esrei will apply regardless of the day of the week, and regardless of the Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, during the in-between. So it's important to keep that in mind. For starters, in the first paragraph, the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, we say, we add a pasuk. We add the pasuk of Zachreinu lechayim melech chafetz v'chayim lechosfeinu psefer achayim neman cholikim chayim. As far as I know, every nusach adds this. I'm not aware of any nusach that does not. But if there is one, please let me know. And what we're saying is we're asking Hashem to remember us for life in this world, so that we'll be able to continue fulfilling mitzvahs. That's in the first bracha. Now the second bracha of Gvuris, of Ato Gibor L'Olam Hashem. So towards the end, right before we say V'Namon Atal Achiris Mesim, we stop and we say Micha Moicha Avarachamon We say, who is like you, who has so much mercy on his children? And it's asking Hashem to please have mercy on us. We add also, at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, two more sentences. in Moedim, in the bracha of Moedim, when we're thanking Hashem, so towards the end of the bracha, we say, and we ask Hashem to please write us in the book of good life. And not just us personally, but really all of His Hashem's children. And then the last bracha of Shalom, of peace, which Sim Shalom or Shalom Rav by Mincha Ma'ariv, according to some of those guys. So we add B'Sefer Chaim, bracha B'Shalom, B'Farnasa Toiva, Yeshua, B'Nechama, U'Gzeiroiz Toivois, Nizachem Nikosiv L'Fanacha, Anachnu Cho'am Chabes Yisrael, Chaim Toiv Mil Shalom, in which we are asking Hashem, once again, to put us down for an abundance of goodness and kindness, and to rip up any harsh decrees against us. So, that is the actual sentences and lines we add. However, there are a couple of changes. For example, in the bracha of Ata Kadosh, when we say Baruch Ata Hashem, we say Hamelech HaKadosh, the King, Holy King. We keep, throughout these 10 days, we see a lot of talking about Hashem as King, 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 King. It's a very common thread throughout the davening during these days. And once again, we say in Hashiva Shefteinu, in the bracha called Din, we say Baruch Atah Hashem HaMelech HaMishpat. Now, what happens if somebody forgot one of the times to switch the wording from HaMelech to HaMelech HaKadosh or to HaMelech HaMishpat? So it depends. Now, keep in mind, these halachas apply throughout the 10 days till after Yom Kippur. So what if somebody missed HaMelech HaKadosh, if it's within about three seconds, the amount of time it takes to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umari, so then a person goes ahead and quickly corrects themselves. Now, if that time passed, then they could potentially have to start Shemoneh Esrei over from the beginning and say it correctly. However, in the second time when we say, instead of Baruch Atah Hashem, Melech HaYitzchak HaMishpat, if the person accidentally said that regular wording that's used to saying the whole year, because it still mentions Melech, if they did not catch it within the 2.5 to 3 seconds they have, then they just continue. And if somebody forgot one of those psukim, those lines that we said before, then they can continue as well. Now, we have to remember that in Rosh Hashanah Kippur davening, the davening is, the Shemoneh Esrei is very different, so you keep in mind you need a machzer, or at least check if your siddur has whatever you need. So now another difference in the davening between Rosh Hashanah and on Shabbos and the weekday is that on a weekday there are numerous times throughout davening that would call Rosh Hashanah Yom Teruah, the day of the Teruah, of the Shofar blasts. However, on Shabbos we change it to Zichron Teruah. It's very important to keep that in mind, so pay very close attention in your master so you do not make a mistake. However, now, what happens if somebody got the two mixed up? So they do not go ahead and have to go back at all. Now, what happens if somebody is so used to the regular Yom Tov davening that they ended the bracha instead of Melech al kol ha'aretz Mekadesh Yisrael v'yom hazikaron, and they accidentally said now Mekadesh Yisrael v'azmanim? So if they did not start the next bracha yet, then they can go back and say Baruch Atah Hashem Melech Al Kol Haaretz Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron. However, if they started the next bracha of Ritzei already, then they go back to Atav Chatanu. And if they finished all of the davening already, then they go back and start Shemoneh Esrei over. Now, if somebody just says Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael V'yom Hazikaron, once again, they do not need to go back at all. Now, what happens if somebody forgot to mention Shabbos, and it's Shabbos, and it happens to be Shabbos? So, if he remembered before separating his feet, he goes back to finish Mon Esrei, then he goes back to Atavach HaTanu. However, if he already finished Mon Esrei, then he has to start over again. So in the bracha of Sim Shalom or Shalom Rav, there's machlokes of how somebody ends. Some people have the meaning of finishing Baruch Atah Hashem Isa Shalom. Some people finish as usual Baruch Atah Hashem Hamvarech Sam Yisrael Bashalom. So once again, follow your minhag, and if you do the opposite, you do not need to go back. Matan of Shmona Esrei together with. At the end of Kaddish, instead of saying Oysa Shalom Bimremov, we say Oysa Ha Shalom Bimremov. I think for now we covered the majority of the halachas that apply during to the changes in davening. So, the custom turn is now that Rosh Hashanah, at the end of the davening, we say, we wish each other, L'shanah tova tikasev sechosem, where we give each other a bracha for a good year, that we should be written and sealed for good. Now, we use the feminine terminology, obviously, for a woman. There are those that have the custom, actually, to add la'alter l'chaim tov mushalim, that it should be for a long and good and peaceful life. Keep in mind though, some people do have the custom to always use a singular form for and not the plural form, even if there's a group. So therefore, do not be offended if somebody you know is familiar with the language Hebrew and still makes a mistake. Somebody wishes you Lashana Tova Tikasev Sechosim, Atri L'chaim Tov Mushalim. Now, what do you answer? So, there's two possibilities. Number one, you can answer with the same wording, or the other option is you can say gam ata. You can say so it should be for you as well. Now, a person should try to go to their parents, to their Rebbe, and the like, to give them the bracha as well and to receive it from them. We only say this, by the way, the first night of Rosh Hashanah, not the second night. Now, a person has to be careful by the meal, not to eat too much to the point of being too satisfied with it, like, this is good. They also have to be careful not to drink too much alcohol and so on and so forth. Shalom Aleichem still should be said properly, but not sung like a regular Shabbos, but it should be said nicely, calmly, peacefully. However, you should keep in mind that there are those, while it's not a majority as far as I'm aware, that do not say Shalom Aleichem at all, such as Zidichov Chasidim do not. They don't say Shalom Aleichem, Eshes Chayu. They don't even say Askinu Sudasa. But once again, all this is based on Pi Kabbalah. Now, what happens if somebody forgot to say Shachianu by lighting candles or by Kiddush or whatnot? So a person should be careful to say Shachianu as soon as they remember, regardless of throughout the day, throughout Rosh Hashanah. So we know Shabbos, Yom Tov, there are different ideas of different meals you cut, different challahs, the top, the bottom, you put them next to each other. So by night, the person should cut specifically the top challah on Rosh Hashanah based off the Matzah Ephraim. We dip the challah in honey and not salt. However, there are those that have the custom to dip in salt later on instead. Such as the Lubavitcher Rebbe had this minhag himself together with many others. Yet there are those that just have the salt on the table but don't actually use it. So there are different customs as to saying Yehiratzayin on Rosh Hashanah. So, and what they should you eat. But the idea is that we use different things that signify good brachas. We eat honey, we eat dates, we eat beets, we eat apples and honey. There are so many different things that we have accustomed to eat, and I think it's important the person should learn specifically what they eat, what the customs are, different customs to eat are. Now, it's not a problem to add. However, it is, one should be careful not to subtract. You could add as many as you want. There's the idea of the fish head or a ram's head, preferably eating fish. So many that we do not eat a tail of a fish tail. There's so many different customs as to what to eat. However, the honey, it's preferable if it could be raw honey. Yes, I know it's significantly more expensive, but still it's preferable to be raw honey. There are even those that have the custom to use dates honey as well. We do not eat spicy and things or anything that could cause indigestion. We try to be careful with anything that's sharp. We try to be careful with, including lemon. The question comes, and a lot of people have the custom all the way to Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. This applies to onions, raw onions at least, together with many other things. In general, it should be a nice, good geshmaki meal. A meal of things that are simonim of things that imply that we will ask them for more things. So as we said, we don't want to add things like indigestion, gas. That includes beans, that includes legumes, all of that. Nuts. However, the exception is if somebody's by Shalom Zachar, they are allowed to eat chickpeas. We don't eat black grapes on Rosh Hashanah, according to some. However, there are those that are not careful about this. So once again, find out what you specifically would hold. And once again, you can always ask me to help try to get to the bottom of what your custom is. Now, it's always best though to speak to a rabbi who knows how you are already hold and do things. So the class is actually wrapping up. But I just want to finish talking about the meal for a moment. and say that there's a custom of starting one chapter from Masechet Rosh Hashanah, which is four chapters, one chapter every meal, as the four chapters represent the Shema Vayi, the name of God, of the four letter name of God. So the general custom is not to sing by the meal, by the night of Rosh Hashanah, first night of Rosh Hashanah at all. There is actually an interesting enough, a Kabbalistic custom, that if somebody has leftover matzah from Pesach, that they should eat it. But it should be specifically matzah made for the mitzvah by Pesach. And there are many reasons for this, which we can discuss at a later point in time. But I will say this is a Kabbalistic custom, and it does come from the Zohar. Next week, in Mirtza Hashem, we will continue with talking about the different simonim and the different foods that we eat to symbolize good, positive blessings for us in the coming year.